Stand in honor of reading this one verse in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10. The Lord gave me this message about rubies. I began to think about rubies when I began to think about this verse when the Lord allowed me to get engaged to a virtuous woman. And I want to talk today about the value of rubies, the rarity of rubies, the color of rubies, the substance of rubies, and the manufacturing of rubies, Lord willing, today. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies." Let us go to the Lord. Our Father God, I come in Christ's name. I'm very needy this morning. And Lord, every soul in here is in need of hearing a message from You. And I pray that God, You'd have mercy upon us, Lord. We want to remember and thank You, Lord, for protection on the roads, protection flying. We thank You for how You protect us in all of our travels, God. I want to thank You, Lord, for how You've blessed me and how You've answered my prayer and how You have found me a help meet for me. God, I thank You. And we thank You, Lord, for Your many blessings in letting us live in this land of milk and honey. We pray that, God, that You'd speak to every heart, meet each individual need, especially the lost and unconverted. I pray that You would convict them and draw them through this message this morning. Please, I pray that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray I'd preach in the demonstration of the Spirit with power. I pray that, God, that You'd please bless now in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. Now, you know that people will spend millions of dollars to buy a ruby. They will spend millions of dollars to buy things, but they will not take the time to pick up God's Word and to devour it and receive from it the wisdom that is far greater than the value of anything upon this earth. This Bible is free. This Bible is available to anyone that wants to receive the wisdom of God. They can receive it when they cry out for it and ask God to give it to them. Wisdom is free. It is available. And anybody that wants it can have it. And I want to stress the fact that it is far more valuable than anything on this planet. But so often we take it for granted. So often we just let it lay on the shelf and we never seek the wisdom that God has for us. The value of rubies in the 1960 World Book Encyclopedia, it says it is the rarest and in large sizes the costliest of the gems. In other words, it is the most valuable gemstone. That's why the Bible does not compare a virtuous woman with diamonds. It does not compare a virtuous woman with diamonds or emeralds or anything else, but it compares it with rubies, and it compares wisdom with rubies, and it doesn't compare wisdom with gold, silver, or diamonds, but it does compare wisdom with rubies, that it is far more valuable than rubies. The 1959 Britannica says that ruby, the most valued of all gemstones. A source under the heading of Ruby Information says rubies are the king of the gemstones. And in the fascinating realm of gemstones, rubies are the generally accepted emperors. But many sources have said that they're more valuable than diamonds. And another source said the Kaplan ruby is the most expensive ruby. This 15.97 carat antique cushion cut gem sold at Sotheby's auction for $3,630,000 October the 8th, 1988. People will buy, people will spend money after material things, but they won't receive the free wisdom that God has to offer, which is far greater value of anything upon this earth. Job chapter 28, verse 18. Rubies, the value of rubies when compared with wisdom. The Bible says, no mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Proverbs 3:15, she is more precious than rubies, talking of wisdom, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Proverbs 20:15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. An application I like to say this morning, we need the wisdom of God to know His will for our lives. The will of God is of vital importance for the Christian. We need to have wisdom in knowing the will of God when it comes to marriage. You guys that are still single and never been married, you need to wait on God and be willing to wait just a little bit for the right one. And it's worth it. And to pray and to seek God's face and to seek for God's will about the perfect wife. And then we need to know God's wisdom about what our occupation ought to be. We ought to pray before we take any job or any occupation. We ought to pray before we go out and quickly and hastily buy any house or car. We ought to pray for God's will to be done in everything in our lives. God's will ought to be involved in every aspect of the Christian's life. We ought to know about spending God's money, His will about spending His money and be a good steward of that. We need to know about what friends to have. That's important. We need to pray those that are babes in Christ, those that have not grown as much in the Lord, you need to pray for God's will about who you ought to hang out with. And then we need to know wisdom about the home, the role of husband and wife. We're living in a mixed up society that's got everything backwards when it comes to the home. There is a breakdown in the home nowadays. And that is the first institution that God ordained. He ordained the home before He ever ordained the church. And so the devil is out to attack the home. We need to know that the roles of husband and wife, wives are to be keepers at home and submit. That's in the Bible. Keepers at home, not keepers of the home, but keepers at home. That is the place of the wife. Husbands are to work, lead, and love their wives as Christ also loved the church. We need to know God's will. We need to know the wisdom of the Bible when it comes to birth control. That the Bible is against it. And we need to know about rearing children. Amen. We need to have wisdom about the church. There are two offices, bishops and deacons. The bishop is the pastor, and the pastor is the under-shepherd and overseer. The Bible says that he is the overseer or the superintendent. And as he follows Christ, we are to follow him in everything. Then baptism is for believers only. If you were baptized and never born again, you're still lost and going toward hell. Salvation is by grace through faith. Hell is eternal punishment for the unbeliever. We must hunger after the Scriptures. Church attendance is of absolute importance to a Christian's well-being. These are things we need to know about the church. We need to have wisdom about prayer. You know, God has a specific plan when it comes to prayer. We don't just barge presumptuously into the throne room of God. God told us how to pray. We have to have wisdom. We must first confess and forsake sin. If we go to God with unconfessed and unrepented of sin, then we will not be able to have our prayers answered. They will be hindered. And then we must worship God after that with thanksgiving. Then we must pray for our needs and intercede for others. There is a role of prayer. Then we've got to have wisdom about soul winning. We must have a plan. We've got to have some kind of plan, my friend. If you don't have a plan for soul winning, you won't do it. You'll never be able to lead someone to Christ if you don't have something in your mind, a message. You've got to have a sermon prepared for the lost. Or you'll just kind of ramble around and you'll never get nothing done. And then you've got to have a goal. And then you've got to have a burden for the lost. So there's wisdom about these things. And it's to be sought after more than rubies or anything upon this planet. And then we need to know that the value of rubies when compared with holiness. Proverbs 31 verse 10, our text, who can find a virtuous woman? That's a holy woman. For her price is far above rubies. And then in Lamentations chapter 4 verse 7, her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. An application, a virtuous woman is faithful. She is trustworthy. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She is strong. She is compassionate to the poor. She is industrious. She's not lazy. Amen. She loves her husband and exalts him. She does not tear him down. And what I mean by that is, you ladies be careful that you don't compare your husband with other people and bring him down and say things against him in front of other people. Don't embarrass your husband in front of people purposely. She is a keeper at home. She does not slander. She submits to authority. She is godly and hates sin. This is a virtuous woman, far greater than rubies. She is meek and of a quiet spirit. She has long hair, like the Bible teaches. She prays and trusts God to supply. She reads her Bible and knows Bible doctrine. Her natural desire is to raise children. Now, in application for the Nazarites. The Nazarites were compared with rubies in Lamentations, and they were men and women separated unto the Lord in Numbers chapter number 6. They had very strict standards. Some would think that they were a cult. They could not eat grapes. They could not drink wine or strong drink. They could not shave their head. They could not touch any dead thing. They could not come at any dead thing, not even their kinfolk. And we as Christians should separate ourselves from the world. We should not listen to the worldly music like rap, rock, country, bluegrass, alternative, R&B, jazz, and pop. We should dress very modestly. We should never watch any commercial television. We should not shop on Sundays. Women should never dress like men. Men should never dress like women. We should hate tobacco, alcohol, dancing, gambling, abortion, sodomy, adultery, divorce, pride, envy, lust, covetousness, evil imagination, slander, gossip, gluttony, and all sin. We should hate all sin. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That's how the Christian ought to be, like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the rarity of rubies. A source under the heading of Ruby Information says that large gem quality rubies have always been very rare. Another source under Ruby Information says it, talking about rubies, is an extremely rare gemstone. 1960 World Book Encyclopedia says rubies are the rarest of all gems. And it also said the finest rubies come from Burma. Now, the rarity of a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? In application, it is a very rare thing to find a pure woman in this day and time in her 20s. It is a rare thing to find a virgin in her 20s. Most women want to work and be independent. They want to do all the talking. To find a woman that will be dependent, submissive, and quiet is almost impossible. That is why a virtuous woman is compared with rubies, the most rarest and valued of the gemstones. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Marriage can be heaven or it can be the alternative. Amen? The Bible says it is better to be alone in the wilderness than to get married to a contentious woman that always wants to fight. A woman that makes her husband ashamed is like a bone disease, like cancer. It must be a terrible agony for a man to be married to a brawling woman that always wants her way. Just imagine the torments to be bound in a relationship of constant fighting. Now I want to pick on the men for a few minutes. There's a rarity when it talks about faithful men. Just like rubies are the most rare, so is a faithful man. The Bible said, who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 20 verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Most men will walk around grabbing their lapel, talking about their accomplishments and bragging about how wonderful they are. But a faithful man, the Bible said, who can find a faithful man? And just as a virtuous woman is a rarity, so is a faithful man. It is a very difficult thing to find a young man that has kept himself pure in his 20s. Men of God are falling out of the ministry left and right because of a lack of faithfulness. Men quit because they're not faithful. They die spiritually because they will not be faithful to their devotions every day. When men are alone and no one is watching, they quit being faithful and indulge in some sort of wicked sin. It is as rare as rubies to find faithful men who will stay right with God, who will stay in love with their wives, who will keep seeking God's face, who will keep giving their tithe and offering, who will faithfully attend church every time the doors are open, and who will not compromise because of the pressure. It is rare to find a faithful man. And then I want to talk about the rarity of the perfect sacrifice. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. My dear friend, the Bible teaches that God's only begotten Son, that means that there was only one perfect and sinless and innocent sacrifice that could die on the cross for sinners. Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He is the only door, the only light of the world, the only bread of heaven. Christ is the resurrection and the life. He is the only mediator between God and men. His name alone is the only one under heaven given among men. He is the only one who proved Himself with miracles and fulfilled the whole law of God without trespassing or sinning one time. Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose bodily from the dead, and He alone can save. Mary can't save you. The Pope can't save you. Your sacraments and your good works and all the things that you can do can't save you. Only Christ can save. He's the only way. And He's the only sacrifice. That's why we serve and worship Him. That's why we don't hold hands with the ecumenicals. That's why we don't hold hands with the Muslims. That's why we don't hold hands with the World Council of Churches. It's because they don't believe that Jesus is the only way. That's why we're going to pray on the fort in Jesus' name, because He's the only way. Amen. And if they don't like it, they can just jump in the lake of fire. Amen. Now, I want to talk about the color of rubies. Illustration 1959, Britannica says, the ruby's most valued tint being that called by experts pigeon's blood color. Now, what they used to do is they used to kill pigeons and shed their blood, and then they'd take the rubies and compare the blood of the pigeon, the freshly killed pigeon's blood, with the rubies. And that would be the most valued ruby and the most sought after ruby, that was which was compared with the pigeon's blood. There's pigeon's blood in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 14. And if the burnt offering, if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. an application, the Old Testament sacrifice of the pigeon's blood looked forward to a far exceeding sacrifice, which was the Lord Jesus. Jesus shed His blood to be a propitiation for the sins of the world. His blood has power to cleanse away every kind of hideous sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, the blood has power to wash away all your sins today. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross, His innocent and His holy blood, His divine blood, and God can save your soul if you'll come to Him and repent of your sins and trust Christ. If you'll trust His blood, He'll save your soul. And Christian, if you are struggling today, the blood of Christ has power over the tempter, amen. And that blood is beautiful blood, amen. Now I want to talk about the substance of rubies. Next to diamonds, rubies are the hardest gem in the world. The diamond on the mole scale is 10 and rubies are 9. They have been used, talking about rubies, rubies have been used in industry for grind wheels and to grind things and for other materials and devices. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. An application like the density of rubies and its durable substance, so must the Christian's faith be to endure the onslaughts of hell. We must have great faith and strong, enduring faith to endure the devil's temptation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, my friend, we need to withstand against the devil. And having done all to stand, amen. The Christian has been issued the armor that it takes to weather the storms of temptation. We must not be weak. There is no place for cowards in the army of the living God. The Christian's faith must be an enduring substance as the ruby. It must hold him or her when the fire has been set to their feet. Many have praised the Savior as the ungodly have stoned them, burned them, and tortured them. What makes a Christian's faith so strong? It is the rock of ages upon whom they are built upon. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Friend, we need to stand upon the rock of ages and stand against the devil, not in our power, but in the power of His might. Amen. And we need to endure hardness as a good soldier and have great faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, for He has given us the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's how we can endure this world. That's how we can endure the trials. That's how we can go through the wilderness, is in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in the manufacturing of rubies, and this is very interesting, it has been stated in many sources that rubies are manufactured commercially. They can be counterfeited. They can be duplicated so precisely that it takes powerful X-ray equipment to determine the authenticity of a natural ruby. Do you know that men have discovered, and years ago, this isn't a recent thing, how to duplicate and manufacture and man-make rubies so precisely that it takes powerful X-ray equipment to determine a natural ruby from a man-made ruby? They can be counterfeited. We've talked about all these things that are compared with rubies. Do you know that the devil has counterfeited many good things that are godly and spiritual? There's counterfeit religion. There are many religions in the world. You say, what one is right, preacher? This Word of God, this is right, and everything else is wrong that does not line up with this book. Amen? They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. You know, there's some people that say, I know God. There's people that say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but they live like the devil. When I go to Greenville, South Carolina and hand them out gospel tracts, seems like everybody says they're saved. And when we go downtown and hand these out, and when they're drinking beer and having a big festival down there worshiping the golden calf, they'll say they're saved. Well, they're not. And just because you say you're saved doesn't make you saved. You better make sure you're truly born again. Better make sure that your life is changed and you have the witness of the Spirit and that you've repented of your sin and trusted the blood of Christ to save your soul. And if you haven't been changed, and if you haven't been born again, amen, if your life didn't change when you got saved, you better ask yourself if you're really born again. And if you can live like the devil and never be convicted about it and your conscience never bothers you, you better ask yourself if you're truly saved. Because you won't be able to live like the devil and get away with it. Amen. Counterfeit religion. Then there's counterfeit wisdom. Counterfeit wisdom, so-called Christian psychology, is not based on the Bible. It is a money-making scheme. It focuses on self-esteem, which is pride, and pride is an abomination, and that's why Satan became the devil. As when he said, I'll be like God, I'll send up and be like God, that is psychology. It's to boost your self-esteem. And I'll tell you something else to watch out for. And it's flooding into our churches like a surge, like a deluge. It's called the purpose-driven life. You better be careful of that and watch out and be warned of it and take heed of that wicked book. Now, I haven't read the book yet, but I'm planning on it. And I'm planning on taking a pen and penknifing it to death. Amen? Because I know this one thing about that Rick Warren or whatever his name is. I know this, my friend. You can't worship God any way you want to. You got to worship God on His terms, not on your own. God's not going to receive our man-made worship. He's not going to receive our strange fire. Amen. God's against this modern liberal way. And then there's counterfeit Bibles. In this apostate time, there are hundreds of different versions of the Bible that twist God's Word to fit their own wicked lifestyle and their false doctrine. They add confusion to confusion. And their authors will be in the lake of fire according to Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. My friend, I can dogmatically say that Westcott and Hort are in the hellfire right now. They're going to the lake of fire too, because they purposely set out to manipulate God's Word to fit their wicked, perverted ideas and false doctrines. They were pawns of Satan, my friend. And then I want to talk about the counterfeit worship that the devil has brought into the house of God. The devil has added rock and roll, indecent dancing, and drums to the modern church worship services. It is all flesh and is of the devil. It is because people want to mix the world with the church. It's just like in Genesis where the sons of God married the daughters of men, and the next thing that happened, God destroys the world. Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God marry the daughters of men. The godly line of Seth began to marry the worldly daughters, the wicked Jezebels, amen. They began to go mix with the world, marrying the ungodly. That's exactly what's happening. The church has become worldly and the world has become churchy, amen. And the church is beginning to look more and more like the world. And the Bible says in verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, 24/7. And the only one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord was Noah, the preacher of righteousness. And God said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man, but his days will be 120. And that's how long God gave Noah to preach to that ungodly crowd. And so Noah went out preaching righteousness and building the ark to the saving of his house. Amen. And just like in that day and time, we're living in the days of Noah, where ungodly sinners are only thinking and speaking evil continually. Amen. And this world is filthy, and this country's filthy with all the sodomite perverts and all the wickedness on the devil vision. Amen. And all the thoughts of man's heart's only evil continually. But as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. My dear children of God, look to the sky, for Jesus Christ is coming back. Like in the days of Noah, we're fixing to get on the ark to the saving of our souls, and we're fixing to pull out and go to glory. Amen. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to destroy this world like He destroyed it back in Genesis. Amen. He's going to destroy it, not with a flood, not with water, but with fire, the Bible said. He's going to destroy it with fire. And you can mark it down, my friend, that the door is going to be shut for every unconverted Christ rejecter. And if you don't receive Christ today, if you're not saved, if you don't receive Christ, you're going to walk out these doors rejecting Him. Amen. If you don't receive Him, you reject Him. And God will reject you. And just like in Matthew chapter 25, there was five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. And they said, "Give us your oil." And they said, "We can't give you our oil." And they went on. Why? You've got to have a personal decision to receive Christ. And just like the door was shut on the five foolish virgins, they went knock, "Let us in." And Jesus Christ will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." My friend, after Christ comes, it's going to be too late to get saved. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And you're going to join up with the devil, and you're going to be deceived, and you're going to be damned for all eternity if you don't get saved before Jesus Christ comes back. And then I want to talk about the counterfeit role models. Children highly esteemed sports heroes, movie stars, and rock artists as the role models. These wicked enemies of the gospel are convicted felons, drug users, drunks, atheists, they're sex perverts, sodomites, and reprobates. Our children ought to look up to people like missionaries. They'll esteem missionaries and preachers and evangelists as their heroes. Amen. And then there's counterfeit preaching. Many that preach on the radio and devil vision are false prophets. They are false apostles, deceitful workers that have ran greedily after the error of Balaam. They are pawns of the devil to beguile unstable souls. They creep into churches unawares and are lost. They are used of the devil to get people into hell. There's a counterfeit Jesus. Many false religions teach that Jesus is another man like you and I. The Bible said Jesus is God. Amen. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus. The Bible said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." Amen. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And He said in Philippians chapter 2, "Who being in the form of God," Colossians 1:16, "For by Him," Jesus, "were all things created." Hebrews chapter 1, "By Him He also made the worlds." John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Jesus is God, my friend. He's not a man like you and I. Then there's counterfeit holiness. And by the way, this is my last point, and I'll give the conclusion. So just try to endure to the end with me this morning. Counterfeit holiness. There are many fundamental independent Baptists that are King James separated and soul winning. They believe right on all the fundamental doctrines. They're almost against everything except for prayer, church, and the Bible. The women dress like old maids, and some men are very groomed and clean cut, but inside of their heart is desperately wicked. They're whited sepulchres. They look holy on the outside, but they're devils on the inside, my friend. You can look good on the outside, but you can have sin on the inside. My friend, don't ever get to the place where you think you're good. Take heed lest you fall. That's what we talked about in Sunday school. You get to that place where you said, well, I'm without sin. You got to that place where you said, you've prayed enough. You've won enough souls to Christ. And you went out witnessing enough. And you've spent enough time with God in prayer. I'll tell you something, my friend. There's not only sins of commission where we commit sins, but there are sins of omission where we don't do what we should do. Amen. And we all ought to be praying. And we all ought to be winning souls. Amen. These people that say that they can be perfect and never sin and go for times. Now, we don't have to sin and live like the devil. God's given us power. We're raised to walk in the newness of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when we get to that place where we don't have sin, that's when we're being deceived the most by our own hearts. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So we need to search our hearts, amen or not. And we need to seek out and have God search us, O Lord, and try our hearts. See if there be any wicked way. And many times we're so blinded by our own deceitful heart, are we not? The Bible says in Job, how much more abominable and filthy is man that drinketh iniquity as water. How about that? We drink iniquity like water. Huh? And what's in our body? 70% of our body is made up of water. My friend, the Bible, Paul himself, the greatest preacher other than the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, in my opinion. Amen. Paul, he said, I am carnal, sold to sin. He said, oh wicked man, oh wretched man that I am right now, present tense. He said, I am the chiefest of sinners. And if Paul would say he's presently wicked, he's presently carnal, he's presently the chief of sinners, then my friend, I want to take heed, lest I should think I've arrived, lest I think I've got to the place where I'm perfect. Counterfeit holiness. In conclusion, like the king of the gems, the ruby, which catches people's eyes with its beauty, so does fake Christianity. These counterfeits are attractive, but they are a lure of Satan to steal people's souls. Ask yourselves, have you been deceived? Are you being deceived right now? Turn to Christ for truth. Turn to the Word of God. The Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. Pastor's coming to give the invitation, and the instruments will be playing. Search out your hearts. Pray for the lost. Pray that someone gets saved today. Thank you. Pray for me as I go to the Philippines. I cover your prayers that I would get back safely without any kind of disease or without getting captured or shot with all my limbs attached to me. Pray for me. Thank you. God bless you.